Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Still coming at you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue, and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We left off listening to James Franklin talk about his running back situation, specifically Devin Ford, the former four. I know Rivals had a high opinion of Devin Ford for a while. I think he ended up a four-star across the board, but he had a fifth star from Rivals, and you look back at his high school film. It's the gist of what James Franklin had to say. If you missed it, it's available in the Keystone Sports app and on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Just talking about, you know, how productive he was in Virginia and how, you know, he put up video game numbers down there, but that they weren't sure when he arrived how ready he would be from a physical standpoint. And frankly, that was the big variable we were looking at in this running back depth chart. How and where does he fit in when he's arriving so late? And it seems like he's really going to press and he's really going to try to make his case and he's going to deserve a look the same way Jahan Dotson deserved a look last year, where, you know, I would make maybe some of the same comparisons. Jahan Dotson, it wasn't the plan week one for him to play and burn his red shirt, but he stood out in the summer and he was in position that when they had a need, Jahan Dotson was there. It might be a similar situation here, Greg, for Devin Ford, where maybe it's not the plan week one, but a lot of crazy things happen, including him keep pushing and pushing and pushing behind the scenes. It's possible he begins the year by default as number four on the depth chart, but with a very good chance at climbing up some.
Yeah, Devin Ford came in this summer, and he's the kind of guy where he leads by example. He's fast, explosive, and they're both looking really good. That's what Pat Freiermuth said on BTN's special from Penn State practice over the weekend. Dave Revson asked him and KJ Hamler who the young players were that were impressing them. And he also mentioned Noah Cain, but we know about Noah Cain, you know, kind of. James Franklin said you're going to see it more live than you are in practice in terms of all he can do. And Penn State fans got to see that in action at the Blue White game, where he was one of few players that was so productive that he played for both teams. So I think that they're it's just a fascinating embarrassment of riches, quite frankly. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, and with Devin Ford, you know, I know you've been high on him. Bob and Ross have been high on him. And we go back to the last segment a little bit. It does almost feel like someone's going to have to be the odd man left out, because again, how do you keep four guys happy in a rotation? How do you play them? Number one, how do you let them get established out there if you're constantly swapping them in and out? The good news is Jaylon Sider, this is not his first rodeo. He knows what he's doing here. He's as good of a recruiter as he is a coach. And sometimes coaching's about making sure your guys are okay when they're not getting the snaps that they maybe thought they were going to get or that they think they deserve. So he'll obviously have a lot on his plate, but he's shown that he's pretty darn capable of handling that.
No matter what this looks like week one, there's a very good chance that it ebbs and flows. And honestly, if you're talking about four running backs and you're talking about giving – fairly equal play to all of them, it's not that much different than starting the year with CJ Thorpe and Mike Miranda as your co-starters at guard. At some point in time, it's going to become obvious how they distribute snaps. And in that case, if one guy dominates them, he's your guy for, you know, quarters one through four. In this case, there's going to be opportunities for these guys to claim bigger roles as the year goes on. So I think this is definitely one of those positions on the depth chart. The way you see it in week one is it's just not going to be the way it looks in week 12, no matter which way it goes. You mentioned Noah Cain and James Franklin talking about when it goes live, that's when Noah Cain really shines. Here's that quote from him.
Yeah, you know, with Noah, it's kind of hard to say. I think the end of spring, we felt that way. Noah's going to show up when it's live. His running style and things like that, it's breaking tackles, it's falling forward. He's the guy that's going to get 4 yards on a consistent basis. He's going to get a 12-yarder, and you're going to look down the stat sheet, he's going to have 100 yards, and it didn't feel like it, if that makes sense. Very productive, very pleased with him, his toughness, his maturity.
So that's tricky too, Noah Cain and the skill set that he brings, that we got a good glimpse of it. And you can throw out the results. You can throw out the numbers from the Blue-White game. You can't throw out what passes the eyeball test. And you can talk about Noah Kane, and you can maybe try to look for his limitations, because I'm sure there are some. You know, I don't think that physically he's not gonna run by you. He's also not so powerful that he can't be brought down either. But he just seems to get it. He runs with some power. He embraces that contact. He also was more elusive than I thought he would be in that limited time, in that limited atmosphere. So we saw that in the blue-white game, and I thought James Franklin's quote about maybe in practice you don't really appreciate what Noah Kane brings to the table as much as you appreciate it in games. He's the kind of guy who's going to sneak yardage up there. And that's exactly what makes him such an intriguing part of this backfield. If he had the same style as Devin Ford, I wouldn't rule out, you know, Devin Ford being able to leapfrog him. But with Noah Kane, you know, Ricky Slade's not a big guy. He's compact and he's fine as far as running back dimensions go. But he's not going to be the guy who you're going to know for a fact he's going to get 2 yards. Neither is Journey Brown.
Right.
Neither is Devin Ford. But Noah Kane, he just might be that guy. And I think what James Franklin said about him only speaks to the way that he can zig where some of the other running backs zag.
No question. And I think, again, the biggest thing will be, can they block it up front? I mean, you know, 4th and 5, they pick up the Chase Young stunt. It's probably a first down against Ohio State. And we can go back and forth endlessly about that play call. We can.
Maybe we will.
Maybe. We did. Yes, that's right. We did. Yes. And we certainly probably don't need
to
do it again.
We can bring it back. But, yeah. The 2019 version, we can bring it back.
But, you know, this, I want to see it happen on the field first, because I think with the running backs and with the offensive line, we expect there to be improvement, but we need to see it first. Almost the same thing with the wide receivers. And I just hope, my one hope is, I was watching that BTN show over the weekend. You know, they didn't really get into the receiver drops or anything like that. My one hope is that Penn State fans, if the first play of the year against Idaho results in a drop, the world's not ending. Everything will be fine. Now, if they drop 10 passes in the game, maybe we'll have something to talk about. But I just got to say, this has nothing to do with the running backs, but I am impressed every time I get the chance to watch Jarrett Parker work, Dustin. I mean, this guy gets it. And it's not a slight against David Corley. He was brought in to coach a position that he wasn't meant to coach. Jarrett Parker's good. I mean, he communicates with the kids well. He does drills with them, and he is hands-on, and the kids really seem to like him. The kids have really gravitated to him. There's little doubt why James Franklin thought he was a good hire. He's very good on the recruiting trail as well. Again, that has nothing to do with the running backs, but I am impressed by the work that guy's doing.
And I'll tell you, I mean, that is another thing, just to go off course a little bit. That's one area where you got to feel good about Penn State's offense. I don't know if there's been a group or a player or, you know, however you want to put it, that underachieved under James Franklin's watch like Penn State's wide receivers did last year.
Right.
And everybody was in a tough spot. I mentioned earlier in the show, it's short-term pain for long-term gain to get the coaching staff where you want it, and to get that. It's hard to find somebody who's both an ace recruiter in one of the most talent-rich states in the country and very, very knowledgeable and relatable and can coach running backs too. That's Jaywan Sider. It was worth it to try and do this and try to make all that work. It just didn't work out last year for the wide receivers. If the coaching standpoint of it, and if the drops improve, that is just one sneaky way. I guess you can say sneaky. I think from a national level, I think the performance of Penn State's wide receivers are it wasn't appreciated, you know, how truly uneven it was. So that one component, you bring a guy in who can get the most out of wide receivers, and what impact does that have on the offense that, you know, we're not really discussing all that much?
Right. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, here's the thing. So you talk about, you know, if you do any kind of reading about Penn State previews, if you listen to any kind of general college football shows, what is the talk about? And we've talked about it too, of course, but it's that Trace McSorley is gone. But what does Penn State offense look like with a fully healthy quarterback? Because Trace McSorley, and don't get me wrong, 60 and 70 and 80% Trace McSorley was very good, but it's been said now officially that he was hurt for a lot of last season, starting with what, the Ohio State game, I believe, or the game before that. I mean, a good chunk of the season, he was playing at nowhere close to 100%. What does the offense look like with a quarterback at 100%? I remember 2016 and 2017, it was pretty darn good with 100% Trace McSorley, receivers that caught more passes than they dropped. And, you know, I don't think you can understate what that will mean for this group moving forward. How are we casting Ricky Ronnie in 2019 if the receivers catch a few more passes and the quarterback, you know, and the offense functions a little bit better? How are we casting Ricky Ronnie? And I think that's why a lot of people are bullish on him and this team in 2019.
That was a tough hand he was dealt all around last year. So speaking to another component of the wide receiver situation, this isn't anywhere near where we started, but that's okay. I think that's what we're here for.
Beauty of radio.
I think even going back to when Josh Gattis was coaching that position, separation in 2017, and I think maybe separation for a lot of that
tenure.
It's
been a problem.
It's been a running issue, but look at what they've got now. You couldn't have, like, I think maybe the two most slippery wide receivers that Penn State has brought in since Franklin arrived are Jahan Dotson and KJ Hamler. Separation should be okay with those guys, and it needs to be because they are both, what, 5'9", 5'10"? It needs to be. Justin Shorter is the most physically gifted. I mean, no disrespect to Chris Godwin or anybody else, but Justin Shorter, from a raw talent standpoint, you know, he knows how to get separation, has the size and speed to do it. You might see, like, if these guys are catching the ball, running good routes, and getting more separation than they have, it'll be an interesting thing to watch as we move forward. And I guess we might as well keep talking about offense and say we have some defensive talking points for the next segment. But just to bring it back to running backs then too, you could have these guys playing that role in the receiving game. And that's what I'm most curious about.
Did you see the video from practice where there was a screen? Did you know, pick up on that?
I saw that there was one. I didn't actually see the video.
Oh, yeah. So they ran a screen, and it was against air. So, it, you know, it doesn't mean...
Did they get yardage out of it?
Somehow they did, yes. It was only a few yards because the play was blown dead. But, yeah, I think they have to get those guys more involved. I think that Ricky Slade talked about that. I believe it was at Lift for Life. He was asked about that and basically said, yes, we are going to be more a part of the offense in that capacity this year. And I think that's obviously a very good thing for him and them and Penn State. I mean, they're weapons. Get them involved. They don't have to do the Saquon Barkley 35-yard wheel route for a touchdown. It doesn't have to be that. It can be screens. It can be little short things over the middle. Get them involved. Give defensive coordinators something more to think about. It's a wrinkle that Penn State probably underutilized last season, and I think it's one that they should get back and break back out again starting as soon as the Idaho game in a couple weeks.
And, you know, you look at Ricky Slade and Devin Ford, both big-time all-purpose backs in high school. Use them accordingly. Wasn't the game plan. We're going to still talk James Franklin quotes. We're going to look at the defense, his defensive tackle rotation for starters. Take a quick break and we'll get right to that.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.